is adopted. We now move to the regular calendar. HB 648 was special ordered. To the first order of business today, the Senate will be attentive to the clerk.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Committee on Judiciary, to which was referred House Bill 648, an act relative to eminent domain petitions by public utilities, having considered the same, the committee recommends that the bill is ought to pass with an amendment by a vote of 4-0. Senator Hood for the committee.
Senator Hood.
Thank you, Mr. President. On behalf of the Judiciary Committee, I move ought to pass with amendment on HB 648. The committee amendment attempted to provide clarity in eminent domain proceedings, including protections from threat and use. However, for reasons I'll explain, I would ask the Senate to vote down the committee recommendation so that another other amendments can be discussed here today. We've all received, can I speak to the recommendation?
Yes.
Actually, 1 minute recess. Senator Hood, please continue.
Thank you, Mr. President. We've all received emails, phone calls, and letters, so I won't take a lot of time this morning to explain to anyone on the floor or in the gallery what this bill is about. As it came over from the House, HB 648 sought to limit the use of eminent domain in the context of electric transmission projects to those necessary for system reliability. Some of us on the committee and in the Senate had concerns with the implications of such a limitation. There were also questions raised about the need for a bill at all in light of Article 12A of the Constitution, which provides protections from takings for private development purposes. Finally, there were issues about the interplay of current statutes dealing with eminent domain. So the bill was re-referred to our committee, where we received at least 8 amendments to consider. and I well imagine that we'll receive additional amendments or variations of again today. Needless to say, there has been vigorous debate on this topic. I feel it's important to note that the debate has not been along party lines, nor has it been deaf to concerns of landowners and the sanctity of private property rights. As the spouse of a woman whose family's business is farming, I well understand the intrinsic value of land and the necessity of being able to rely on the fact, absent a larger societal good, that it will be there tomorrow. Again, I've in bringing out the recommendation of the committee on the committee's amendment, I understand that there's going to be some discussion about that amendment, but I would ask that you continue to discuss the amendments being brought today. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Hood. Recognize Senator Forrester.
Thank you, Mr. President. I appreciate Senator Hood's comments. I would like to say that I'm recommending that we vote. We ought to vote for the amendment, have you pass it. We have further amendments coming forward that we want to add on to this.
Thank you, Senator Forrester. First order of business is the committee amendment. Senator Bradley with a question for Senator Forrester.
So just to be clear, this is almost as if it is a parliamentary inquiry. You are recommending an ought-to-pass vote on the committee amendment.
Yes.
Thank you.
First order of business is the committee amendment. Senator Rausch to speak.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, as a state representative and member of the Public Works Committee, I work to strengthen the eminent domain laws to help protect our New Hampshire citizens. And then along came Connecticut, and we realized that we didn't do a good enough job, and we looked at more legislation to make sure we protected the citizens. And in that process, it didn't take us too long to come to the realization that legislation was not good enough. It wasn't appropriate. We had to change the New Hampshire Constitution. And we did that. And I worked on that, and I strongly supported that. That's where Article 12A was instituted in 2006. Passing legislation today is the wrong approach. And it only serves to be misconstrued and weaken 12A of our Constitution. So today, I will be voting against this amendment and any subsequent amendment and Senate Bill 648. But my votes today reflect my strong support for the New Hampshire Constitution and Article 12A and my strong support for our citizens' property rights. I hope you will join with me in voting to support Article 12A and affirm our work in 2006 and send a message that Article 12A is crystal clear and unequivocally supports and defends our citizens' property rights. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Rausch. Question from Senator Barnes to?
Senator Rausch.
Senator Rausch, will you yield to a question?
Yes. Senator, I don't disagree with anything you have said. A lot of us worked on that constitutional amendment, and the citizens passed it about 85 to 15, I believe, was the final score.
Overwhelming.
The only question I ask you, during the conversation on Northern Pass, there's been conversation that eminent domain that you and I figured was safe with this constitutional amendment has been brought up time and time again by certain people in this discussion. And don't you think that it's proper to try to maybe tie things a little tighter together, seeing things have been brought up? And I know it can go to court, but I don't think we need to take things to court all the time. I think we can take care of it in this chamber a lot of times. And I'm concerned about the threats. I'll use the word threats of eminent domain that have steered this whole thing up and why these amendments are here today, in my opinion.
Legislation can be repealed. It can be changed. I believe it weakens it. I believe we have the Supreme Court for this specific reason, to affirm and support what we did in 2006. And if we weaken that, we weaken the Supreme Court's decision. And I think this is the wrong approach.
Thanks a lot, Jim.
Thank you.
Recognize Senator Larson to speak. The question before the Senate is adoption of the committee amendment.
I rise to support the committee amendment. We understand that the core value that we were seeking was the protection of private property rights. And we are certainly supportive of that. That's in our Constitution. And many of us believe that the constitutional protections are very strong within our own Constitution. But we've heard from those who live within this state that they are concerned that there are further issues that come before them. And they cannot wait to have some of these issues of their own personal property rights protected. The amendment, the committee amendment, further protects many of the property owners within the Northern Pass right away because it affords them protections from such things as what I would consider criminal threatening that you can use eminent domain when you don't have the authorization to do that. That is an affront to and a threat that is falsely used. So that protection alone within the committee amendment is a very good one. Some of the other protections that speak to the right to enter a person's property or the market value is just further protections. But most important to me is we have heard from our people around the state that people have entered their property and made some kind of unauthorized threat that if you don't sell to us now, we will use eminent domain later. If we wait for the courts to decide, it could take 2-3 years for that to happen, during which process many of the people will already feel the need to have agreed to some kind of an offer because they're fearful they'll get a lesser offer later on. So the amendment before us in the committee is a decent one, and we know that there will be further fine-tuning of some of the other protections through further amendments. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Larson. Recognize Senator Luther to speak.
I also want to support the committee amendment. I serve on Judiciary Committee, and it was a unanimous vote on this. I think a lot of work was put into this. I know Senator Carson spent a lot of time working on this. There is a lot of good protections here. We have heard many stories about problems that landowners have had, and I think this really addresses those issues. So I support this wholeheartedly. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Luther. The question before the Senate is adoption of the committee amendment. Is there any further discussion on the committee amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The committee amendment is adopted. Recognize Senator Carson for a floor amendment.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to offer, and quite frankly, I don't have it in front of me because I handed everything I had to the clerk.
350.
Amendment 350.
That amendment as it's being distributed.
Thank you, Mr. President. What the amendment basically does is removes a particular section of the committee amendment that dealt with the 200%. We got a lot of feedback on that, and most of the feedback was negative. So out of respect to a lot of the comments that we received, I'm proposing that we remove that section. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Carson, we'll wait for the amendment to finish being distributed. Question before the Senate is the adoption of floor amendment number 350, Senator Carson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to ask for a recess. This is not what I proposed to OLS, and we need to get it fixed.
2-minute recess.
Thank you, Mr. President. The wording has changed, but yes, it is correct.
Senator D'Alessandro requests a 2-minute recess. Option of floor amendment 350 offered by Senator Carson. Is there any further discussion on the floor amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The amendment is adopted. Recognize Senator Forrester to present amendment number 367, and you may speak to that as it's being distributed.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to introduce floor amendment 367. The language in this amendment is about protecting private property rights and the simple belief that in New Hampshire, one's home is their castle and their property should not be threatened without the dire need driven by unquestionable public good and certainly not for the profit of another. This amendment adds language to the last sentence in RSA 371:1 and reads as follows. No public utility may petition for permission to take private land or property rights for the construction or operation of an electric generating plant or an electric transmission project not eligible for regional cost allocation for either local or regional transmission tariffs by ISO New England or its successor regional system operator. Senators, not long ago, you took an oath to defend the New Hampshire Constitution, and this morning we're here to defend the Constitution. In 2006, New Hampshire adopted an amendment to the state constitution, now Article 12A, to further refine when eminent domain could be exercised. And it reads, "No part of a person's property shall be taken by eminent domain and transferred directly or indirectly to another person if the taking is for the purpose of private development or private use of the property." The legislature voted overwhelmingly to place this proposed amendment on the ballot in November 2006. The vote on the House floor was 277-61. This Senate voted 24-0. The people voted to adopt the amendment by a margin of 85-15%. Also in 2006, Governor Lynch signed into law Senate Bill 287, introduced by Senator O'Dell, which reformed 8 New Hampshire statutes governing the use of eminent domain. The legislation explicitly states public use shall not include the public benefits resulting from private economic development and private commercial enterprise, including increased tax revenues and increased employment opportunities. This legislation paralleled the legislature's consideration of CACR 30, the resolution that passed this body on a vote of 24-0 to put 12A before the voters in November 2006. Senate Bill 287 did not address one other statute governing eminent domain, RSA 371-1, the statute governing the use of eminent domain by utilities, which was first written over 100 years ago. It is now time for the legislature to address this oversight and adopt the Bragdon-Forrester-Barnes-Merrill Amendment to House Bill 648. Our amendment makes clear that the public use definition we applied to 8 other statutes governing the use of eminent domain also applies to utilities. The Northern Pass is the first project to surface since 2006 to reveal the inadequacy of RSA 371-1 in recognizing the new limits on eminent domain established by 12A. House Bill 648 is an effort to rectify this gap, and this amendment adds clarity to the goal of the House-passed version. This is the first test of the true purpose of 12A, and the landowners of New Hampshire cannot afford the costs of failing this first test. While public purposes sometimes require the taking of private property by eminent domain as a last resort, it is completely inappropriate that New Hampshire citizens should live in fear of takings by private projects for private gain. By passing this amendment, we are fully recognizing the constitutional protections of all property owners in New Hampshire, as voters themselves said they should be recognized when they adopted 12A. Property owners should have the right to decide and should not be forced to accept a private project for private gain that will forever negatively impact their lives and property value. We each took an oath to defend the New Hampshire Constitution when we took office. This oath applies to the entire Constitution, including 12A. To allow this first big test of Article 12A to fail would be an abrogation of the oath we took upon entering office. We need to stand up today for all New Hampshire property owners, as the Senate did in 2006, and make clear that the rights of property owners include protection from the use of the state's police power by eminent domain to take private property for another private development or use. I urge you to adopt this amendment and then vote ought to pass. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Forrester. The question before the Senate is adoption of Floor Amendment 367. Is there discussion on the amendment? Senator Merrill to speak.
Thank you, Mr. President. I rise in support of this floor amendment. Today, I think we find ourselves at the intersection of two very important policy areas. One, the basic right of protection of our properties. And second, our need to move into the future with what I would call, even though it's perhaps an overused word sometimes, a sustainable energy policy here in New Hampshire. One that supports and encourages economic development and the jobs that come with economic development, as well as environmentally responsible practices. Energy policy is a complex and an evolving area of policy and of business considerations. So this is a busy intersection we stand at. It's been a crowded one lately, but we're moving ahead today, and I think that's a good thing, and I think we're moving in the right direction. We all know that we're talking about eminent domain today, but I think we all recognize that this discussion came up in the context of a particular set of properties or a particular part of our state. And this is by way of saying that I wanted to talk a little bit about how I personally, or how the route that I personally took to get to the intersection we stand at today. So again, we're talking about the very important issue of eminent domain, but it came up within the context originally of what does this mean for part of our state that I want to just talk about caring about deeply. As some of you know, I serve on the Land and Community Heritage Investment Program Board. And also have had a long association with that program, serving as interim director at one time, and back when I was in the House in the mid-90s, co-sponsoring legislation that led by several steps, as things seem to go in the legislature, to the establishment of the program. And I know that the particulars of LCHIP are something that get debated, and I don't cite my history with LCHIP because, gee, isn't that impressive that I've done this and I've been in the legislature for a long time, but rather just to say that my involvement with that program, my desire to be involved with that program and to stay involved with it, stems from a deep concern for, a love for that which is special about New Hampshire. I come from the Seacoast area. Of course, I think the beach is great. I think the Seacoast is wonderful. But it comes from an appreciation for all that is wonderful about our state. I've also had a long-standing concern and interest in energy policy. Again, going back to when I served in the House, first on the Science, Technology, and Energy Committee, where I was pushing for the idea of
let's go for energy conservation first whenever we can. And I still support that concept. But over the time since I first served on that committee, I've seen great change here in New Hampshire, I think in terms of the interest of people in general in what our energy policy is going to look like. People want to see renewable energy encouraged and established here in the state. People don't want to see our air and our water polluted. Those are basic concepts now. It's kind of apple pie-ish at this point. But again, those are basic concepts. How we get to that policy, energy policy, that meets those goals is a more complicated issue. And that's what we've run up against today, I think. Specifically, today's discussion takes us to the question of where and to what extent, if at all, eminent domain is appropriate within the context of the development of energy policy. And I believe that the amendment you have before us addresses that legislative challenge we face on this intersection today. And I urge your support for that amendment. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Merrill. I recognize Senator Sanborn to speak.
Thank you, Mr. President. First, I want to thank all of our guests who have come down from the North Country and your vigilance and your work to ensure you have property protections. And all of us here on the Senate floor, thank you for being polite and articulate. I also want to thank public service and ask that we all remind each other that they're a company who, in their eyes, are trying to do the right thing. Their employees are our neighbors. They're our friends. And they, too, have been very polite and articulate. And as a result of that, I support them. I also want to really do a shout-out for Senator Forster, who has been steadfast in her support of everyone and the concept of providing personal property protections. As many of you know, I am a senator who has been on the backside of eminent domain, not once, but twice. Kicked out of my house when I was 7 years old, and then recently in the city of Concord, where this city took property that I owned. Obviously, it's a very important issue to me. I am concerned that this amendment will not go far enough in protecting your property rights, and am very concerned that we'll be back here again soon addressing the same issue. However, that being said, I recognize there are certain days where we can't get a touchdown, but have to just move the ball further down the road, as my good friend Senator Bradley said, and Senator Bragdon said to me the other day. So I will be supporting this amendment and ask all of you to keep a very strong eye on the future of your protection, because I truly believe this is one of the most fundamental rights we have, is the right to have and own our property and defend it. Thank you, Mr. Senator Bragdon.
Thank you, Senator Sanborn. Senator Hood with a question for
Senator Merrill.
Senator Merrill, will you yield to a question?
Thank you, Senator Merrill. Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Senator Merrill. I wanted to go back because you talked about the intricacies of policy considerations for this. And I understand that the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, FERC, has issued an order, Order 1000, that while in its infancy contemplates public policy considerations such as the renewable energy portfolio standards into projects using cost allocation. Is it your understanding that the amendment offered today would preclude such considerations along the lines of for Order 1000?
I've, of course, only seen the language regarding that document from FERC recently, as is the case for all of us, I think, since it came out just this summer. My understanding is that at least one of the goals of that document is to take into consideration in the regional planning process for energy development the issues that have been identified in the states as public policy issues of concern, for example, encouragement of renewable energy. So I think that that's an area that we will see
the regional planning group, ISO New England, working on. They've just started to, is my understanding, and I think it will address the issue of the possibility of including other factors other than system reliability, which has been the one that has been in the forefront before, but other policy considerations as they go forward. So I wouldn't see the language as necessarily precluding the future consideration of other important factors.
Thank you, Senator Merrill. Thank you, Mr. President.
Recognize Senator Forsyth to speak.
Mr. President, I am going to support this amendment, but I do want to make a couple of comments about this process in general. First is a vote for this amendment does not necessarily mean opposition to Northern Pass. There are plenty of folks who feel that it could be a good project. It could be good for New Hampshire. This is simply a bill that's looking at the eminent domain statutes and clarifying them in this context, and I think it's an important clarification. The other point I want to make is there's a lot of differing opinions on whether it's Senator Roush, whether to completely vote against these, or Senator Bradley, Senator Carson offering up a different amendment. But I firmly believe that all 24 senators, just like in 2006 here, support Article 12A and not taking property for private uses. It's just we differ in their opinion on how to go about that. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Forsyth. Recognize Senator Larson, then Senator Bradley.
Thank you, Mr. President. I rise to support this amendment as well. I think people questioned back when we first voted on 648, which was maybe last June, why we were studying this further. And I think the reason we sent this into study, and I think it benefited from that study, was that we were seeking an appropriate balance between what is a constitutional protection of private property, particularly for taken for private gain, but the balance also had to be made with the need in this state to allow for the common interest of having transmission lines go through areas in an appropriate way so that all benefit from both the ability to receive energy in an affordable manner. We worked through the summer and into the fall, and as recent as last night, amendments were appearing at our table with ways to find that appropriate balance. While it may not be perfect, I think this moves us into an arena where we can not only protect private property rights, but allow for the further development, if it's approved, of energy alternatives and the continued support for renewable energy projects that may come up in our future. And that's what we were looking for as we pushed this into a study a good 6 months ago. So I think we have arrived at least at a place where we've reached that balance, and one which I'm sure in conference committee we'll have further discussions on. So I rise to support the amendment. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Larson. Recognize Senator Bradley.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. I think it's important to read Article 12A. I don't believe anybody's done that to date. No part of a person's property shall be taken by eminent domain and transferred directly or indirectly to another person if the taking is for the purpose of private development or other private use of the property. A lot of you in this room worked to create that constitutional amendment. 86% of the voters voted for it for pretty obvious reasons. I have always felt, in looking at the Northern Pass application, that there's really no question that it was a private development, therefore not eligible for use of eminent domain. And when we last debated House Bill 648 on this floor in May, I think those of us who urged study said that we would be back and try to strengthen our eminent domain protections for people that were adversely impacted, not only by that Northern Pass project, but by potentially other projects. And I think the testament to Senator Carson and my amendment that people, as they took a couple of deep breaths and looked at what was actually in the amendment, thought, yeah, these are protections that protect property owners. Fast forward 6 months, we've had a debate about how to make sure that 12A, the clear intention of 12A, is replicated in 371.1, the section of law that we're debating today. Senator Forrester has done a really good job, I think, of trying to outline what the issues are. Her approach is a little bit different than the approach that Senator DeBlois and I took. I think we assume that the simplest approach is the best approach. Put Article 12A, the clear language of it, into the statute, and then say no private development entity, that's what we're talking about here, can petition the Public Utilities Commission for use of eminent domain. So we're trying to get to the same place. I think that the Forrester Amendment is going to pass, and I congratulate Senator Forrester for her tenaciousness in making that happen. But this was the intent that Senator DeBlois and I had of how to solve this problem in the simplest way and in the most New Hampshire way, because it's a New Hampshire constitutional amendment that would be adjudicated in our amendment by the Public Utilities Commission. The one concern that I have with the Forrester-Bragdon amendment is use of terms like regional cost allocation and regional transmission tariffs approved by ISO. Are we not potentially ceding to federal and regional regulators state jurisdictional authority? I just raise that as a question. I think we are. And for those of you who are going to support it today, I urge you to be prepared for what you ask for. We may get it, and we may be back here debating how to make sure that the protections, I think, that all 24 of us agree should be in law, not just Constitution, are actually in law and not ceded to regional or federal authorities. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Bradley. The question before the Senate is adoption of Floor Amendment 367. Is there any further discussion or questions? Seeing none, are you ready for the vote? Roll call has been requested by Senator Larson, seconded by Senator Barnes.
I'm ready.
Question before the Senate, adoption of Floor Amendment 367. The clerk shall call the roll.
Senator Gallis.
Yes.
Senator Forrester.
Yes.
Senator Bradley.
No.
Senator Forsyth.
Yes.
Senator Hood.
Yes.
Senator Gruen.
Yes.
Senator Sanborn.
Yes.
Senator O'Dell.
Yes.
Senator White.
Yes.
Senator Kelly?
Yes.
Senator Luther?
No.
Senator Lambert?
Yes.
Senator Carson?
No.
Senator Larson?
Yes.
Senator Booten?
Yes.
Senator Barnes?
Yes.
Senator DeBlois?
No.
Senator Rausch?
No.
Senator D'Alessandro?
No.
Senator Merrill?
Yes.
Senator Morse?
No.
Senator Prescott?
Yes.
Senator Stiles?
No.
Senator Bragdon?
Yes.
16-8.
Floor amendment passes on a vote of 16-8. The bill is on second reading, open to further discussion and amendment. Do we have a amendment yet from Senator Larson? Declare.
My amendment was prepared, but we are further amending my amendment, and I don't have that in my possession yet, so I would ask for a brief recess.
We will take a 3-minute recess and come back.
Thank you.
I've been ready.
I knew you were. Senate is out of recess. Recognize Senator Larson to introduce an amendment number 373S, which you may speak to as it's being distributed.
Thank you, Mr. President. I rise to offer amendment 373S. This amendment addresses what's already in what the committee had, which was creating a committee to study the procedural rights of the landowner when a petition is presented to the PUC by a utility seeking eminent domain. The addition here adds into the commission, it establishes a commission, but it adds into them, to that study, another duty, which is to develop a framework for the state to provide use rights to transmission and developers on state-owned rights away, developing policies to encouraging burying lines where practicable, and establishing a structure for payment. This, I hope, sends a message that New Hampshire is open for business. We want the jobs that burying lines would bring. We want transmission developers to look at ways where we can have environmentally sustainable and state-sustainable policies. The state of Maine passed corridor protections and established corridors for transmission line development and established lease arrangements such that the state would make money from the leased property. This is not what we're discussing today, and what has been in the newspaper is not the only transmission line development that may come to this state. And so I think it's wise for our state to develop a framework for us to find ways to use our existing highway right-of-ways, our state right-of-ways, to encourage burying lines if possible, and to figure out a way that the state receives some revenues from that policy. This commission is set up to include the Department of Transportation, the Public Utilities Commission, and the Office of Energy Planning, so that there are other voices at the table, and we would get some responses from them by November of the end of this year. I think it's a way of our saying that we in New Hampshire believe that jobs that relate to this are important, and we need to find responsible ways to accomplish that. So I urge your support for the Amendment 373S, and thank you for the time.
Thank you, Senator Larson. The question before the Senate, is adoption of Floor Amendment 373. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The amendment is adopted. The question before the Senate is now ought to pass, as amended, on House Bill 648. Is there any further discussion? Roll call has been requested by Senator Prescott, seconded by Senator Barnes. Again, the question before the Senate ought to pass, as amended, on HB 648, and the clerk shall call the roll.
Senator Gallus.
Yes.
Senator Forrester.
Yes.
Senator Bradley.
Yes.
Senator Forsyth.
Yes.
Senator Hood.
Yes.
Senator Gruen.
Yes.
Senator Sanborn.
Yes.
Senator O'Dell.
Yes.
Senator White.
Yes.
Senator Kelly.
Yes.
Senator Luther.
Yes.
Senator Lambert.
Yes.
Senator Carson.
Yes.
Senator Larson.
Yes.
Senator Booten.
Yes.
Senator Barnes.
Yes.
Senator DeBlois.
Yes.
Senator Roush.
No.
Senator D'Alessandro.
Yes.
Senator Merrill.
Yes.
Senator Morse.
Yes.
Senator Prescott.
Yes.
Senator Stiles.
Yes.
Senator Bragdon.
Yes. The motion is adopted on a vote of 23-1, and HB 648 is ordered to third reading, and we will break until 11:15.